This is Doug Miller. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublitz. Doug Miller, the program is Dialogue, and we are privileged, as I say so often on here, to be able to come before you and sit down here and talk into this microphone about the Word of God, to read it, to send it forth, to know that God will ever and always bless His Word, and it will accomplish what He chooses it to accomplish. We are delighted to welcome you. Bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up. We are in the 12th chapter of the book of Job. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. To this end, beg you to pray for Dialogue. Without the prayers of the Lord's people, we can accomplish absolutely nothing down here. I can talk into this microphone. It won't make any difference. If we wish to honor the Lord in any way, to see Him honored, then we need to have the prayers of the saints. So please pray for Dialogue. Write our names down on your little prayer list. Tell others about us. And we also would always love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to get letters from our listeners. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Paul Sublett will give you that again at the end of the broadcast. If you didn't get it, keep your writing materials handy. Any way that we can help you, we desire to do so. Any materials that we can provide for you, absolutely free of charge, we desire to be able to do that. So let us hear from you. If you wish to email, we have an email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, which is all about Dialogue Ministries, and the broadcasts are on there, you can listen to them, is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Please put .org on there, not .com. I don't know what you'll get if you put .com, but it won't be us. Okay, if you wish to call and talk to me, our phone number, area code 405-535-9089, that's 405-535-9089, you will get a recording, and you leave a message, and I'll get back with you. Okay, let's look into the Word of God now. Now, we're going to do something today that I rarely do. Those of you who have been listening to Dialogue for any length of time, know that typically what I do is go line by line, precept by precept, verse by verse. Going to do something a little differently today because I want to move over some of this material, which is very repetitive in some ways. It's poetic and highly symbolic in the language that is used. And for the next three chapters in Job, 12, 13, and 14, this is Job answering Zophar the Naamathite. And what I wish to do is hit some of the high points of this and just talk about them a little, because as you know by now, if you are, and you knew before we ever started in on this, if you knew anything about Job, our man Job is in a confused state of affairs. Once again, just by way of a kind of review, Job is not a bad man as humans go. As humans go, he's the most righteous man on earth. How do we know that? Because that's what God said of him back in the first chapter. Job is a man who has tried to do what he knew to do to be right with God. And he has done it, and done it faithfully. He has, Job is the kind of man that you would like to have living next door to you. And why do I say that? Because he was a helpful man. He helped people. He, you know, took care of the poor. He took care of the widows and the homeless. He was an ideal neighbor. Job was a man who was had in honor by those who knew him. This community that he lived in, there was no one higher or loftier in the opinions of the people there. Job was a wealthy man. God had blessed him with enormous wealth. And in every way, Job seemed to be riding high. Then we saw again. Remember that Satan came to God and said to God, Job honors you simply because he is blessed in every way. You've blessed him. You've put a hedge about him. No evil can come to him. You won't let it. Now, let some evil come to him, and he'll curse you to your face. And, of course, this begins this spiraling downward into the situation Job is in now. One of the things that has amazed me in reading the book of Job is how quickly everyone in his community seemed to turn against him. You know, you would have thought that they would have rallied round him in his misery and in his affliction and in his pain and confusion. You would have thought that this community would have stood up for Job. Wrong. They did not. Instead, they've all turned against him. And we have these three friends of his who came ostensibly to comfort him. And what have they done for him? Well, they haven't done anything for him other than make him feel worse. And, of course, their position and the position that they espouse throughout, and it gets worse and worse the farther we go, is that Job is an evil, sinful man, and that he must be, but he says that he's not, and therefore he's a liar and a hypocrite. Because God wouldn't let these bad things happen to Job if Job were a good man, would he? Oh, please, if that's what you are thinking, you need to think again. Some very bad things often happen to some very good people. Would you like to have an example of that? Think of our Lord Jesus Christ, a very good man, an absolutely perfectly righteous man, the sinless, spotless, holy Lamb of God, who never displeased his Father, who was always in his Father's will. My Son, said the Father on more than one occasion, in whom I am well pleased. And what happened to him? Well, he wound up on a cross, didn't he? Spat upon, mutilated, and beaten half to death, forsaken by God, rejected by man, and bearing the sins of the world. That was God's will for him, and he went into that place of condemnation willingly in submission to his Father's will. Now, for any of you out there who don't understand that being a righteous person being concerned about God, being saved. If you are saved, if you are seeking God's face, if you are really genuinely directed by the Holy Spirit to keep and do the will and the work of God, do not imagine that everything good will come to you. Some bad things can happen to you. And, of course, anyone who's been around very long knows and understands this. Let's see now some things. And once again, we're going to rather quickly go through these three chapters, 12, 13, and 14. I just want to show you some things about this. Job, and then we'll take it up at chapter 15 next time. But look in chapter 12, Job is answering this Naamathite named Zophar and saying, look, he says, no doubt, I understand what you're saying. But he says, I have understanding as well as you. I'm not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? Yeah, everyone knows this, says Job. Well, let me ask you something. Now that Job has said this, everyone might know the things that Zophar has said. Job seems to be agreeing to what Zophar has said. But since everyone knows these things, are these the things that are really true? You know, this general knowledge that people have, this thing that they think they know and understand, is this really right? Well, I've got news for you. Last week, if you were listening, I was telling you about my experience before I was saved. I could not seem to be a good person. I tried. I made resolutions. I didn't carry them out. I would fail day after day, time after time. I could not conduct my life with any degree of dignity. I understood that I was a sinner. I did not understand that Christ died for my sins and that salvation was by grace through faith. I didn't understand that. I thought you worked your way to heaven. Well, that's what Job seems to be suggesting here. Yeah, everyone knows this. But if everyone knows this, then Job seems to be asking, then why am I in the mess that I am in? I am as one mocked. He goes down in verse 6 of chapter 12, the tabernacle of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and so on and so forth, he goes on. You know, he cannot understand why he looks out here and those that are evil and wicked seem to be prosperous. Well, Job, I wish I were there to explain it to you. I can tell you, I can answer this one for you real quick. And for those of you out there who are wondering, as Job wonders, for those of you who say, you know, here I am, I'm a born-again believer, I'm going along here trying to do the Lord's will, and I can't seem to, everything seems to cave in on me. I mean, it's like raining boxing gloves out here, and I'm looking across the road at my neighbor over there who doesn't even pretend to be the least bit interested in God or the Lord Jesus Christ or the gospel. And apparently everything seems to be going well for him. Well, there are two things to be said about that. First off, you don't know exactly what's going on with that person over there. But I can tell you this, let's suppose everything is going well for him. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples on the night before he was crucified? He told them, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. If you were of the world, he said, the world would love its own. But now, because you're not of the world, The world hates you. It hates you just as it hates me. Now listen to me. You who are born again, who are saved, who have no doubt about it, you believed the gospel and have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The minute that happened to you, you were set at enmity with the world. The world is against you because you have been saved out of the world, and though you are in this world, you are no longer of it. Now, the world loves its own. That man that you may be watching, that woman that you may be watching, and they are, you know, they seem to just be prospering and going along fine, and they don't even claim to be saved and are not the least bit interested. Of course they're getting along fine in the world. The world loves its own. And, you know, they're not at any kind of enmity with the world. But when you get saved, you are set against the world. And, you know, this is the way it is. This is the way it was with the Lord Jesus. This is certainly the way it was with the Apostle Paul. Every one of the disciples was either killed or, I think all of them, by tradition, all of them perhaps except the Apostle John, and he too was persecuted and mistreated and maltreated. And down across the centuries, the saints of the living God have been persecuted and are hated. Now, I want to say something about that right now, and I want you to listen to me carefully. We are coming into a time in world history in which more and more we are going to see the hatred of the world being directed at the people of God. And you can remember that I said it. Already, Christians are the most persecuted group for their religion of any group in this world. That is already a fact. You may not see it here in this country, but you just look around the world and you'll see it quickly enough. All through Indonesia, in China and Russia, in many places in Africa, anywhere where there are where Islam is in the majority, anywhere, Christians are being persecuted and their lives are in danger. And that is going to get worse, friends. So you need to settle it and understand it right now. You are not of the world. And the world hates you. And the world is lined up against you. Job may not have understood that, but you should. I want you now to look in chapter 13, and I want to read a couple of verses here. Job says, surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace. I am tired of talking to you, says Job. I would like to talk to God. I want to reason with God. That, my friends, is most interesting. I don't know what it is that, well, yeah, I think I do, too. If Job if could suddenly talk to God, and he's going to get his chance. He's going to get his chance. But if Job could, I mean, what he was thinking here, I can almost guarantee, he wants to make his case before God. And his case, the one he keeps making over and over again, is, I am righteous. I have done nothing wrong. Why is this happening to me? What is going on here? I don't get it. But Job is absolutely holding on to his own ideas of righteousness. Well, look, let's face it, friends. If Job is correct, if Job is righteous, and if a man who is righteous is never going to have any trouble, never going to have any problems. If everything is always going to be good for that man, if that's really the truth of the way things are, then the conclusion that one would have to reach is that God is the one who is unrighteous. Is that what Job is saying? Is he about to lay a charge of unrighteousness before God? If he could talk to God, as he says here, and reason with him, what would he say and what would he reason? Let me tell you something, friends. God is not unrighteous. He never has been and he never will be. What he does is ever and always right. And therefore, Job's problem is not God's unrighteousness, and it may not even be Job's unrighteousness. In fact, it's not. It's not. So there is something else going on here. And you can put this in the bank, friends. There is something else going on, and what's going on is this, that many times God, in his righteousness, will take his children, his people, the believers born again, whom he loves, and put them through trials and tribulation that sometimes we wouldn't believe. And it is always for a purpose. It is ultimately for their good. How do we know this? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Therefore, Job's understanding here is simply faulty. God is going to bring Job through this, and he is going to come out like gold. He's going to be better than ever. But he must go through this. There is no way around it. Now let's look at a couple of things as we close in chapter 14. First off, Job says at the beginning of that chapter that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Okay, Job, you've got it. You said it. Job, are you a man born of woman? Well, by your own admission, such a person is full of trouble. Why do you express surprise here, Job? He goes on, look at verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Job, you are going through trouble, and there is no way around it. But you will come out better on the other end, believe me. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.